Have you found yourself recently in a place of distress and you didn't even know how you got there? How were you able to manage that and walk through that? The opposite of distress is comfort. We are going to learn today how to grab a hold of comfort in times of distress. Stay with me. Hey friend, welcome to the Shattered into Beautiful podcast. I'm Jeannie Smith. If your heart is hurting, no matter what your circumstances are, there is only one healer. Through biblical content, I will teach you how to experience whole healing and soar into great purpose. So let's get into today's show. Grab your favorite coffee, journal, and Bible. It's time to dig in and unwrap your gift. Hey friends, this is Jeannie. Welcome back to the Shattered into Beautiful podcast. Well, I hope you are enjoying our ongoing conversations about uprooting things out of our lives, out of our heart, and replacing it with good things, the goodness of God. And the Bible is full of tools and scriptures and things of truth that can help us do that. So today, I want to talk about uprooting distress and replacing it with comfort. I want the deep seeds of comfort, God's comfort, to be rooted in our heart. So grab your favorite coffee or sparkling water, LaCroix. I love LaCroix. I love black raspberry, watermelon, lemon. I really like the black raspberry because it kind of tastes like grape, and my brother loved everything grape. And so it always makes me think of him when I pop the top. But whatever your favorite drink is, grab it. Most definitely grab your Bible and your journal, and let's go. Let's dive in. So this week was a very difficult week for me. I went out of town. It started out great. I went out of town for an event, and just me and my husband, and we had a fabulous time. And when I got back in the car, I had several text messages on my phone. And the text messages were letting me know that a young woman that I have been discipling and mentoring was tragically, violently killed. And I was devastated, to say the least, at this shocking news that I got. Matter of fact, I do not even remember the drive home back to the motel room. And I was just honestly devastated. I was heartbroken. I cried. I asked God a lot of questions. Had a difficult time sleeping that night, and it carried over into the next day. And honestly, you know, it took a few days to really get some breakthrough. And one thing that I am learning more and more, for those of us that have experienced grief and tragedy and trauma in our life, it does send, when something resurfaces or another act of violence is done that affects us in a personal way, it does send triggers, memories surface. There's a wall of just a ball of emotions that begin to stir and rise up because it's possibly triggered something, right, from what we have felt in the past. And so when times like that come, because they will, we have to know how to handle those things, how to grab a hold of truth, how to deal with our emotions and our feelings, because our emotions and feelings are very real and they're very valid. And every emotion and feeling that I was having due to the news of this tragedy of someone that I loved and cared for, it was very real and it needed to be dealt with. It needed to be expressed. I needed to allow those emotions and those feelings to flow, and I had to process them. And I have to process them. We have to process them through the lens of God's Word. So let's take a look at God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3 and 4 and 5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." That is such a beautiful picture of the cross. And so when those thoughts came to my mind, "Lord, why did you place me in that girl's life in her last days on this earth? Lord, what am I supposed to do with all these emotions and this pain and this sorrow and this distress that I have in regards to this situation? What am I supposed to do with all these tears, Lord? And how do I speak to those around me that even knew her in regards to this loss? How do I comfort them? And this scripture immediately came to my mind. Because when tragedy and trauma strikes, someone loses a dear loved one, a child, a spouse, a friend, a parent, whatever it may be, there is a comfort that we need that can only come from Jesus Christ. We cannot be comforted, and we will not be comforted by anything else in this world. Nothing will do. The sin of this world, any new age supernatural things that we think are great out there, they will not work. Drugs won't work. Relationships won't work. Nothing will work. The things of this world will not work. The only thing that will work and bring us comfort is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it tells us that right here in his word. And so if we go to look to any other source apart from him for our comfort, we will be highly disappointed and those needs will not be met. It says here in verse 4, he comforts us in our affliction. He is the God of comfort. And verse 5, for just as the suffering of Christ overflowed to us, we are going to live in suffering in this world. This world is broken and there is suffering. And if we live in it, we are going to experience suffering. Christ did too. It overflows to us because we live here. But so also through Christ, our comfort will overflow. If Christ is in us, then our comfort that Christ has given us can now overflow to all of those around us. So I share all this to say that as difficult as it has been to walk through the last few days of my life with another loss in my storyline, I only have one choice: to seek him who gives me comfort and then share that comfort with others around me. Because I have walked through it, because I have lived through it, I now can use that suffering to be able to share it with other people, to align with their hurts and pains, so that they know that I understand and I can give them truth. I can give them the God that comforted me. I can give them the same God, the same message, the same hope. So it is through our afflictions and our struggle that Christ comforts us, that we can then go and comfort other people. If we had not experienced these things, we would not be able to comfort. Job 6:10 says, I can take comfort in this. I have not denied the words of the Holy One. So there are countless opportunities to comfort others, not just in the sense of a loved one, a lost loved one, but also in the daily distressed situations. I mean, there are countless opportunities that we could probably think of where we can comfort others. The daily distress that so often creeps into our lives, the normal day-to-day things. But because tragedy has touched my life, because tragedy has touched your life, because it has happened to me, because it has happened to you, it gives us a greater sense of oneness with others who also experience tragedy. Because we have been comforted through the Word of God, we in turn may be able to comfort others. When we are a comfort and encouragement to other people, guess what? It blesses us. We are somehow maybe surprised at how we may be blessed from comforting that person, but just like comfort overflows and suffering overflows, so does blessing overflow. So we maybe think we're helping that person and trying to bless that person, but the overflow, the blessing, will come back on us. Billy Graham says this: humanity wants comfort in its sorrow, light in its darkness, peace in its turmoil, rest in its weariness, and healing in its sickness and disease. The gospel gives all of this to us. I was disappointed in this loss. Like I said, I had a lot of questions for God. I'm really tired of hearing bad news. I'm tired of hearing about those things that have taken the lives of those around me that I love. I'm tired of feeling like I just can't do anything about it. But you know what? No matter our disappointments and pain, we should never give up. And that is the word the Lord gave me today. Because sometimes we want to just give up. sometimes we feel like giving up. It's okay to feel. It's okay to express your emotions. God gave us emotions, but we can't allow them to direct our life if they are not in alignment with Scripture. But it's okay to feel them. It's okay to ask questions. So you know what? There is times when I have felt like giving up. There's times when I just didn't want to continue on. But God's people that were successful in the Word of God, they never did that. They never, no matter what their mistakes, no matter what their tragedy, they kept getting back up and they kept carrying on. And so we have to do the same. We should never give up. We should never quit. We're going to get knocked down. I remember a friend of mine told me that she had a dream, and she saw me in this dream, and I was completely flat on the floor. She seen me fall from a very high stairwell, and I just laid there, and she didn't think that I was going to get back up. I know this was a prophetic dream because it's been happening over and over in my life. But guess what? She saw me begin to move, and she saw me begin to get back up. And so I got back up. So we are going to get knocked down by things in our life. But when we do, we have to get up, and we have to carry on. We've got to get back in the fight because there's people around us that need us. We are not going to stop this evil in this world, but we can make a difference one heart at a time. And so when this happens, when you experience grief upon grief, when something else tragedy-wise strikes you after you've already walked through a tremendous maybe amount of healing, what we have to do is we have to allow ourselves to feel the grief, to ask the questions, to feel the emotions, to share the feelings, to talk it out. We may need to seek counsel. We need to seek the Lord. We need to journal. We need to do all these things. But at the end of the day, we have to know that God is sovereign over every situation, and we cannot get back up. And we have to comfort others in how the Lord has comforted us. And we have to get back up, and we have to carry on. We just have to keep moving. We can't get stuck. We can't get stuck in the circumstances, and we can't get stuck in the past. We may have to go back sometimes to process and heal, but we can't get stuck there. We cannot look back and grieve over the past because it is gone. And we can't be troubled about the future. We need to live in the present. And it needs to be so beautiful. We need to make it so beautiful that it would be worth remembering. I remember I got this card from my dad, and it came around Christmas time. And, you know, the front of the card was your normal Christmas card, you know, little saying, Merry Christmas, may His grace fill you in this beautiful season. But on the inside, there were some words he had written down for me. And it simply said this: memory is the mother of all wisdom. And because this is true, I hope when any complications or complicator stands before you, individually or your family in whole, that your experiences and the memory of those the same will call up the wisdom to stand steady, strong, and straightforward into and unto those that would challenge your world. What he is saying here is that memory should recall wisdom. We need to remember wisdom. Where do we find wisdom? And that same wisdom that has been faithful to us, the comforter that has been faithful to us, that we would recall that when more tragedy strikes. You see, when tragedy struck this past week, my memory recalled wisdom. My memory recalled the God who was faithful, the God that helped me get through previous grief and loss and tragedy in my life. Memory helped me recall that. And remember, there was a track record there. I was able to recall His faithfulness and how He was just comforted me through every little second of the day, and how He ministered to me, and how He filled me with His peace, and how He answered some of my questions through Scripture, but then through the Holy Spirit, how He spoke to me, how I heard His voice. And because I was able to recall those things in this situation this past week, I was able to stand steady. Now, yes, it knocked me down, but I was able to get back up. Yes, tears continued to fall day after day as I was able to process and work through it, but I was able to stand steady because what God had already done for me in the past. And so I pray that your heart will be alive with the joy of his love. I pray that your days will be touched by the beauty of his grace. And I pray that your tomorrows will be filled with the hope of his presence. I pray that any distress that you may be having in your life through situations or circumstances or tragic news that you may have just heard, that your distress would be taken and in exchange you would be filled with his comfort. What distress are you walking out today that you need in exchange his comfort for? I know that you're going through a lot of difficult things. I know that we all are. And I want to end today's episode with some great promise and hope and truth. And it comes out of the book of Ephesians. See, you can't get this kind of comfort and hope from any other book that you may open and read or magazine. There's nothing you can go and buy that can give you what I'm about to give you. Now, if you read these scriptures in a book or magazine, yes, but there's something very powerful about holding the Word of God in your hand and reading it for yourself and allowing the Holy Spirit scriptures, the anointed Word of God, to enter into you as seeds. Seeds. See, God has created us, our bodies, our beings were created with life in them. There's the living water that is flowing through us. We were built and created to not survive, but to thrive. There is a nurturing going on within us. That's how God created us. And there's things that get inputted into our mind and into our heart that totally can corrupt our lives. So we have to be careful about what we watch, what we see, what we listen to. We have to be careful with what environments we put ourselves in that are impacting our heart, because out of everything in our life, it flows from the heart. Everything flows from the heart. Your heart is where your emotional, physical, and spiritual life begins and ends. Gosh, I've always been so focused on the heart in the counseling room and the ministry that the Lord allows us to minister through. There's always been such a drawing to the heart and a focus on the heart. And I'm learning more and more the older I get, the closer I walk with the Lord, why that is so important. And so I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to take these words that I'm going to read to you and that they would be planted, deeply rooted in your heart. And that nothing or no one, the enemy, cannot come and uproot these seeds. That when these seeds are planted, they will be fertilized in good soil, and they will be watered, and they will continue to grow, and they will bear fruit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ, for he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the Beloved One. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time, to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth. In him you have received an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will, so that we, who had already put our hope in Christ, might bring praise to his glory. In him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance unto the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory." Friends, what is that saying? It's saying that you are adopted, you're holy, you're accepted, there's wisdom for you, you have been redeemed, you have been forgiven, your citizenship, your inheritance is in heaven, you have life, you have grace, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and he calls you blameless. He doesn't look at your failures. He looks upon you with love. You are not your past, you are not your failures, you are not your mistake. Those are things you did. That is not who you are. And the last passage of scripture that I want to read to you comes from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in 14. For this reason, my friends, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, and I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love for you, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Friends, I pray and ask that you would ask the Lord to remove distress and fill you with his comfort. He is the only one that can. May you be blessed this week and filled this week with his comfort. I love you bunches. Remember, live life abundantly.
If you like Mommy's show, leave a review.
Hey, before you go, if this podcast has blessed you, the number one way you can help me is to leave a review and subscribe to the Shattered Into Beautiful show. Next, hop on over to the Shattered Into Beautiful private Facebook group, where you will find a network of friends with daily inspiration. You can reach me at JeannieScottSmith.com. And lastly, please share the episode or review in your social and tag me at Smith Evangelistic Ministries. I cannot wait to meet with you again. Stay tuned for more life-giving podcasts coming your way.